Tell you what, stand for the reading of the word, and I'm not sure where I'm going to. Let's see. Turn to Job chapter 14. We'll just go full circle this morning, if that's all right. From Genesis to Revelation. Genesis chapter 1 all the way. No, we won't do that to you, but I like to stand for the reading of the word. We stand for a lot of things, the pledge, nothing wrong with that. We stand and pledge our allegiance to the Christian flag. I believe some folk ought to stand for the word of God in the day we live in, literally. Mm-hmm. Amen. I know a fella that the Lord told him one time, he was dying of cancer, and the Lord told him to literally go stand on my word and quote 1 Peter 2:24. And so he literally laid his Bible down and stood on it. And quote it, and quote it, and quote it. And that was several years ago, and they gave up on him several years ago, but he's still alive. Phil in Cleveland, Tennessee, that my brother knows, dad knows, and knows his family. Phil, Camry, Elizabeth Yawbury's dad. Anyway, God's able. Amen. And if he tells you to do something, just like the blind man they sung about, go dip in the pool, or go get in the pool, or go wash your eyes in the pool of Shalom, or if you have to do like Naaman and go dip, go dip. Go jump in the lake if you have to, so to speak. But anyway, I'm going to start with Job 14, verse 7. And it says, "For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the sin of water," hallelujah, "it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant." He goes on to say, "But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he?" Good question this morning. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for your peace that passes all understanding. I thank you for this opportunity to be a part of the worship and the ministering in this congregation. I thank you for these wonderful folk. I'm not even worthy to be in the midst of them except by your grace and by your blood and by your mercy. And I thank you, God, that you've given us all a desire to follow after you and try to follow your statutes and give our whole heart and lives to you, God, to the best of our abilities. And God, not relying on that or our righteousness, but it's your righteousness. It's your blood. It's your mercy. It's your grace. It's your sacrifice on Calvary. And Lord, we know that you are able to do all things. God, I pray tonight or this morning that you pierce our hearts with this word and cause us to flourish in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. "For there is hope of a tree, if be cut down, that it will sprout again, and the tender branch thereof will not cease, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground. Yet through the sin of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant." Wow, that's a mouthful. Now we know who's talking here. Job. This guy went through some stuff. How many knows Job? And I'm not going to spend time on that. But what I am going to tell you is, I started this out, and I'm going to give you a few basic background or fundamental, foundational, was what the word I'm looking for, scriptures to go with this. And one of them is in 2 Colossians 7. Colossians 2. Chapter 2, verse 7, and it basically says, being rooted and built up in God. Ephesians 3, and you can turn that if you want to. If you want to flip around to where I say 3 and 17, you don't have to. It's there. It's in there. And I may every once in a while give the Craggy Falls version. That's the rock I call out from under every morning. And Ephesians 3 and 17 simply talks about being rooted and grounded in love, in the love of Christ. Amen. And let's go from there and go back. And all that's All that is basically dealing with one thing, being established, being rooted, being connected, being, remember what we read first, though a tree be cut off. Amen. I'm going somewhere with this. There's a foundation I'm laying here. But anyway, being rooted and grounded in love, being rooted and grounded in God, being rooted and grounded in His Word, being rooted and grounded in the things of God, the ways of God, understanding and having a knowledge, a working knowledge of the Word of God, being firm in what you believe. Amen? And so, we come, let's look, let me look at Jeremiah 17. I think it's maybe between somewhere between 5 and 8. Basically says, cursed be the man that placed his trust in man. Because when all the problems arise and the heat comes, the heat of the battle, everybody know what I'm talking about? The heat of the day, the heat of your situation, the thing that you're facing, you're going to wither up and just nothing to it, right? But he said, but the man who trusts in the Lord, or blessed is the man who puts his faith or trust in God. Because when the heat comes, I'm going to plant. He's planted. Amen. Kind of like Psalm 1. The man that walketh in the counsel of the ungodly and standeth the way of sinners and walks in the way of scornful. And I got that all mixed up, but y'all know what I'm talking about. I bet you could probably quote it, couldn't you? And verse 3 says what? The man that believes in God and trusts in God is the same, is basically saying the same thing Jeremiah 17 said. And we're going somewhere. We're building a foundation here. We're putting down roots. Amen. If I say roots, being rooted and grounded. Amen. So roots. Roots is good stuff. Anybody in here know anything about rhododendron? Huh? Anybody? I know this guy. Anybody here know anything about shrubbery? If it doesn't put down good roots, what happens? I'm talking about rooted and grounded. Anyway, Psalm 1:3 says what we're talking about. And that word planted, just like in Jeremiah, you look up the original Hebrew translation for that, it literally means to transplant you. If you trust in the Lord, He will transplant you. Praise God. You're in good hands when God transplants you. You're in good hands when the life that you used to live is no longer the life you used to live, but it's Christ in you because you have been transplanted from darkness unto light. Hallelujah. Building up yourself in that most holy faith in Jesus Christ. Being rooted and grounded in something greater and bigger than us as individuals. Amen. A body, a corporate body of believers that can shake this world for Jesus Christ. There's a foundational truth there. But sometimes it feels like we kind of get cut off. I just read it a minute ago. Like a tree. Transplanted by the water. You ever felt like you were cut down, cut off, cut short, cut to the bone? Hey man, your ministry, whatever you feel like you're supposed to be doing, feels like it's cut. We'll get back to that in a minute. Amen. I want to talk about Job here. You know, Job is placed in with two other guys in Ezekiel 14:14. And God gives a hypothetical situation, and Ezekiel's prophesying, he's giving Ezekiel a word about what's coming upon Israel because of their idol, their believing in false deities and believing in, and that's not being rooted and grounded in God, that's being rooted and grounded in something's false. And what happens when the heat comes? Well, the leaves dry up, you don't bear fruit and all that good stuff. Alright? Y'all get what I'm saying? And so he's telling them, he said, if I bring desolation, if I bring pestilence, and four times he talks about things he's going to bring. If I do this to the earth, and he gives a hypothetical situation because these guys aren't technically contemporaries of each other. He says, though who? Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it. By their righteousness, they would save themselves. Not sons and daughters, not family, not... Why? Because they were grounded in what they believed. They acted upon what God asked them to do. Let's look at Noah. Now, I'm not spending a lot of time on that, but let's look at Noah. What did Noah do? God asked him to do something. Build a big boat. About way bigger than a football field. two football fields. Amen. A huge ship. Well, he did it to a T. He followed it letter by letter and did everything that God asked. And a lot of times we think because the Word of God says that he preached for 120 years, and this kind of gives you an understanding of how long-suffering God is toward us. Methuselah, his name literally means when he dies, a deluge will come. How long did that fellow live? 969 years. Amen. Simeon didn't hardly live that long, but he lived a long time. That's a whole other message. We won't go there. That's one of them three. No, I'm kidding. I just snorted. I don't normally do that. Anyway, here you've got these three guys, and Noah did exactly what. And in 120 years, he preached. And if you take that for face value, you think, well, it probably took him 120 years to build an ark. But no, you go back and study his lineage and when this one was born in that, and I'm not going into detail, but it's in there. You just got to study that. Basically, about 75 years to build the ark. 50. Between 50 and 75. You can't nail it down, but it's close. It's close.
You're good. I just went to the ark. That's why I know.
Well, historically, they'll say things that sometimes you can nail down a pretty good time frame from the Word of God by Noah's sons when they were born. Amen. So somewhere between 50 and 75. But anyway, and the reason I say the max would be 75 and the minimum would be 50. So thanks for your help, boss. Now, you look at God's long suffering. He got that thing done. He started working on that thing when God told him to. But he preached beyond. Here's a guy that's preaching. He's already built the ark. They're probably calling him an idiot. Why have you done this big, huge... Have you been to Kentucky?
Just last week.
Awesome. I've been wanting to go there. That's so cool.
That's fantastic.
That's cool.
You won't believe what Noah did.
It's amazing. Had to be God. Had to be God. But the man, it's a miracle for us. Not, it's nothing for God. It's a miracle he was able to do that 50 years. But here's the long suffering of God. He preached for 120. You can do the math. He had it done between 50, 75 roughly. But he went on. God allowed him to preach longer. So, I bet you he felt like when he finished, it was time. And here God hadn't moved yet. No flood yet. No rain yet. People making fun of it. He probably felt like what God had told him to do was cut off, so to speak. Remember, we're talking about being rooted and grounded. Foundational. You ever feel like God has given you something to do and all of a sudden it just feels like it's cut off? God, can I do this? The enemy make you feel like you're done. Something in your life just feel like, I'm done. Well, Noah was rooted and grounded. He continued to preach. He continued to minister. He continued to say, come into the ark. Please, it's going to rain. They said, well, rain, what's that? We ain't never heard of that. What? All right, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time, but he was rooted in what God had him to do. He was grounded in what God called him to do. Amen. So let's move on to, who's that other fellow? Daniel. This is a hypothetical situation that God's laid out by their righteousness. Now, I want to say this. What's our excuse? We have the blood of Jesus. We have his spirit. We have the holy angels that can encamp about the ones that love him. We have a lot of help. We have a lot of weapons. We have a lot of protection that the New Testament Paul talks of in the Word of God, the whole armor of God. We had a lot of help. These guys just had a word. Praise God, I felt that. Sometimes you just got to rely on the Word. I've said this before. You ever come in hungry? And I can relate it like this. Back in the day when Mom would cook cabbage and it wasn't done yet. You know, cabbage, cooked cabbage and corn. Oh, my goodness, black-eyed peas. Woo! And you're hungry. Mom, what is it? About 30 more minutes, but Mom, I'm hungry. And she'd hand you the heart or the stalk, cabbage. Cut that little bit. When you're hungry, that's good. Sometimes God, until the meal gets there, until the marriage supper of the Lamb gets there, until that next meal or that next feeling from God, and we can't walk by feeling. We walk by faith and not by sight. You can't go by feeling. But that little bit of sustenance compared to the Word of God that you got will hold you over. Amen. Till that time comes. That's part of being rooted and grounded in God's Word. Amen. And so let's move on to Daniel. Well, Daniel, he prayed a lot. He trusted God. One time he prayed and it took, what, 21 days for the answer to come? Lord heard him the first time he prayed. And he told, and the angel of the Lord told him that. He said, God heard you first time. He was rooted and grounded, and he knew if he just held on and kept praying, God would move. Amen. I'm going somewhere with this. So, we talked about Noah. We talked about Daniel. There's a lot more about Daniel we could say. Prayed three times a day. He prayed his buddies out of the fiery furnace, and they believed God to get them out. And then he prayed and got tossed. And let me tell you, there's something, there's a major difference between a lion's den and a den of lions. And the Word of God said he was placed in a den of lions. You know, I'd be okay in a lion's den if there's no lions in there. But there were lions in there. And we know the story. Oh, Daniel, God delivered you. Oh, king, live forever. What an attitude. The guy had him tossed in there. Oh, king, live forever. Oh, what kind of attitude would we have for a president or someone, a higher authority or a figure that's higher than us that would have that done to us? Would we be able to say that? No, I'm who knows? But God, the Word of God says he had an excellent spirit. He was rooted and grounded in the faith that God, the thing that God gave him to do, and if it was nothing else than being an intercessory prayer warrior on behalf of Israel, he did it to the best of his ability. Amen. And don't you know that there were times it felt like he was cut off from the rest of the world, sitting right there in that place, sitting there. It kind of reminds me of Psalm 137. We hang our harps on the willow. We sit by the rivers of Babylon. They come to us and said, sing us a song. They required of us a song. And all of a sudden, you know, how could we sing a song in a time like this? And then it's like the Lord took over and, well, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its cunning. And all of a sudden, it's like the whole trajectory of the song changed. And the Spirit of God moved on them. And here you are, like that scent of water. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we got Daniel. Did what he was supposed to. And we come to Job. What's the Word say about Job? He was a righteous man, escheweth evil, didn't want anything to do with evil, upright before God. And he was the only one of that crew sitting around the, I guess we call it the fire pit. Y'all read the story. An ash heap that did not judge or charge God foolishly. The rest of them didn't have a clue what they're talking about, and all that counsel they thought they did. A lot of times counsel will bring you to the feeling of, you know, I'm cut off. Worldly counsel will make you feel like you're cut off sometimes. People telling you the way you should do things sometimes makes you feel like you've been cut off. because God has given you something else. And you feel like, well, how can I do this in a strange land? How can it require a song of me in a strange land? Because I feel like I'm cut off. But if you're rooted and grounded, if you're rooted in God's love, if you're built up on your most holy faith, hallelujah, there's something happening when we get ready to go full circle here. But Job, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on all he went through, but I do want to say this. God revealed, through this process, God revealed things to him that will blow your mind. I mean, this man in chapter 9 is sitting there and he's talking about constellations and the stars and the placement of the stars and the placement of the sun. Years and years and years and years and years and years and years before man ever had a lens able to tell you what shape they're in, or what shape they are. And he's naming them names because the Spirit of God moved on him and showed up and moved on him and caused him to know exactly what the shapes were by the name he gave him. Orion, a bear. Y'all, the ladies, y'all know what I'm talking about? Constellations that years later, man finally got to look and said, well, that's why it's called that. Well, God revealed it to him. Why? Because he was rooted. He was trustworthy. Hallelujah. He was in a place with God, even though he was sitting in a place where he's cut off. And in that same, in all this place where God is revealing himself to him and the greatness and the glory of God, Job's sitting here in his misery. He comes down to the end of that chapter and says, if only I had a daysman betwixt us. Talking about him and God. He's talking about great things that God has made, done, and placed in the universe. And then all of a sudden, if I only had someone, in your new translations, a lot of them render umpire. I like the old Oxford translation because it gives you the exact original Hebrew in the matter, and it says mediator. Hallelujah. I want you to think about that. If I only had a mediator, here is this great God, and I'm way down here in this misery, and here's this great God that's created all this stuff, and I feel like I've been cut off, laid flat, cut off at the stump, down here rotting. If I only had a mediator, and it kind of leaves you there, and then somebody else chimes in, and another time, and then here he comes back, and about... Praise God. About, 4 or 5 chapters later in 14, here we go back to man born of a woman. Chapter 14, I just read it. Man born of a woman has a few days and those are full of trouble. Remember, he said, if I only had a mediator. And he compares man, in a sense, he compares man's life and all these problems and all these issues. And then he all of a sudden, verse 7 says, he don't say but, he said, there's hope for a tree. Hallelujah. There's hope for a tree. That just, y'all know what the olfactory nerve is? Let me explain it like this. It's connected to, linked to your memory. Olfactory nerve. If I was to blindfold Philip, not tell him where I'm taking him and walk him into Avery County High School gym, he could immediately, the smell would be, bring back the remembrance of what that place is. Or a certain place that you know all too well. You can blindfold somebody, any of you in here. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Blindfold yourself. Walk into a place you where when you were a kid, you smell that smell and take bring you back. And Job here, he's come from, man, days are few, full of trouble, pain, agony, despair, all of a sudden there's hope for a tree. Now, he's compared man to a flower. Or a plant that fades away quick. And he's come to this tree thing. Now, where did we start? God compared us. Jesus compared us to a tree. Paul compared us to a tree. Hallelujah. Jesus hung on a tree, the cross of Calvary. There's hope for a tree. He said, be rooted and grounded. And let's go over to about chapter 19, verse 25. Y'all correct if I'm wrong here. Y'all remember where he's saying, only if I had a mediator. Only if I had a mediator. And he's talking about all these great things that God's done. Somebody to lay his hand on God, lay his hand on my shoulder, and pull us together. What is he saying in 19 and 25? Yet I know my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. I know my Redeemer lives. And though the worms may eat this old fleshly body, though I may be cut off, rendered helpless, rendered useless, hallelujah, I will stand and see him stand on the earth. And I will see him in my what? In my flesh. The word of God does not lie. Hallelujah. I said the word of God does not lie. And not only is that talking referring to when I say the scent of water, or when I'm talking about a tree being cut off, where there is hope of a tree, that it would sprout again. Not only am I talking about one of these days, yeah, we're going to come up from the grave if we've gone that way. But friend, I'm telling you this morning, if you feel like there are things in your life that have been cut off, that have been, I know somebody, because God would not have given me this morning, but for the scent of water, just the presence of God, just the very smell, bring back remembrance of what God has promised you. Hallelujah. Things in your life that you thought were done, things that you thought were over, things that you thought, well, I can't do this because I'm not strong enough. You don't have to be. All you got to do is dig the ditch. God will fill it. All you have to do is be what God called you to be, and he will make a way where there seems to be no way. Just the smell of God's presence. Just the smell. Not pouring water on a bunch of it. Just the scent of God's Holy Spirit will bring back the remembrance of the word that he's promised you. Hallelujah. And it'll cause the ark to float. Hallelujah. It'll cause Daniel to get up out of the lion's den or den of lions. It will cause Job to get up out of his misery pile around the fire pit and get double for his trouble. Hallelujah. It will cause you to rise again out of the ashes. Even though you've been cut off, you felt like you've been slain, it doesn't matter your age, how old, how young, how middle-aged, whatever. And you may be going through a mid-age crisis and you think, oh, it's over, it's done. It's not. Because there's a God in heaven, hallelujah, and there's a mediator called Jesus Christ. And he can take his hand and he can reach God, and he can take his hand and he can reach you, and he can pull y'all together this morning. Hallelujah. Thank God I have an umpire. I have a mediator. I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And when it looks like I've been cut off at the stump and the roots are rotting, I just get a scent of the presence of God, and all of a sudden it begins to grow again. Things in my life that looked cut off, looked like they were done, looked like they were over with, began to sprout, turn green and bud and cause, hallelujah, cause fruit to grow again. Hallelujah. Y'all get where I went here? Praise God. Stand to your feet. Lord, I thank you, God, that we have a mediator this morning. And I know that we will see you again on that day. But Lord, remind us, just send the scent of your presence, your holy presence in this house. Your spirit, God, just the scent of your presence, just the smell of your presence will cause us to remember what you've promised us, will cause us to remember the word that you gave us, will cause us to remember what you put in that Bible, the promises that are yea and amen and forever established in your kingdom, God, concerning our lives. Lord, I thank you for this congregation this morning. Lord, I pray if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that don't know you, don't know that mediator, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, that you would convict their heart and give them that sin of water right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that if there's someone under the sound of my voice that's kind of strayed and look back and they feel like they've been cut off or laid low or cut off at the stump and feel like they're rotting in their walk or come to a place of despair, God, I pray that you would just happen by with a sin of water. Happen by with that mediator, that comforter, and just show up and cause them to realize that there's hope for a tree that's been transplanted by the water, even though it might have been cut off. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is hope and the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. I've walked past. I pray this in Jesus' name. I've walked past valleys bounded by mountains with peaks that seem too high to climb. But I recall learning how great mountain climbers conquer one step at a time. I've walked past blue rivers, strong currents raging, pondered if they could be crossed. But my rivers and mountains became soft, gentle fountains because of an old rugged cross. We have a Savior, such a wonderful Savior. Mercy's atonement, stifled sin's judgment, grace made intercession, I'm free. Oh, the pain and the heartache, the suffering I can't take, purchase redemption for me. And the true Lamb of Calvary is the hope of salvation. He died on the old rugged tree. I walk down sidewalks of bright neon cities where skyscrapers reach for the sky. I've seen the rich and the famous, glamour and glitter, search for some joy in the night. While a few blocks from Main Street, an old cardboard ghetto, another unknown life is lost. But whether penthouse or skid row, one thing I still know, there's hope in the old rugged cross. Because we have a Savior, such a wonderful Savior. Mercy's atonement, stifled sin's judgment, grace made intercession, I'm free. Oh, the pain and the heartache, the suffering I can't take, purchase redemption for me. And the true Lamb of Calvary is the hope of salvation. He died on the old rugged tree.